Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Will the Fed rescue the markets?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. To say the financial markets have been turbulent recently would be an understatement. They've been downright treacherous for many. Investment banks, hedge funds, and mortgage companies. Credit conditions have become so difficult, the bet is the Fed will have no choice but to lower interest rates, and soon. But as Amy Scott reports, that's not easy.
The Fed's in a tough spot. On one hand, its job is to fight inflation. Recent data has shown that labor costs and import prices are on the rise. But Fed officials are also concerned about the global credit squeeze wreaking havoc on the capital markets. The Fed's been pumping money into the system to stabilize interest rates. Many investors would like to see the Fed go further and actually cut interest rates to get money flowing again. But a rate cut might stimulate inflation. Mike England is chief economist with consulting firm Action Economics.
Our read is that the Fed probably doesn't perceive much benefit to a rate cut. In fact, if anything, it might just add to the panic spirit in the markets.
That hasn't stopped some investors from hoping. The Fed's next meeting is scheduled for mid-September. Some Fed watchers predict officials will call an emergency meeting before then. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Even with all the chaos on Wall Street, the stock market finished slightly higher last week. The Dow added about a half of 1%, while the S&P and the NASDAQ each picked up about 1.5%. Today, markets in Asia and Europe were boosted by news. Central bankers in Japan and Europe put more cash into their banking systems, that to ensure stability in the credit markets. Here at home, this morning's report on retail sales will give us a look at how the housing slump has affected our willingness to buy things. The controversial diabetes drug Avandia has been a big problem for its maker, GlaxoSmithKline. Research has concluded the drug carries the risk of heart attack. Now the British pharmaceutical giant may have to cut its sales force in response. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Glaxo is still insisting that what was once its second best-selling drug is safe, but the company is nevertheless revising its marketing plans. One analyst quoted in the British press suggests that Glaxo could cut its Avandia sales force in the US by more than 5%. Sales of the drug have slumped, and its future looks uncertain. A study by a leading cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic has raised serious concerns. He warned that patients on Avandia were much more likely to have a heart attack or stroke. Another study by German researchers came to the same conclusion. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is considering the matter. Some of the FDA's advisers have already recommended that Avandia carry a health warning. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Whatever happened to Alan Greenspan? The Wall Street Journal reports the former Fed chairman has been retained as a senior advisor to Deutsche Bank's corporate and investment banking unit. Mr. Greenspan is 81. He retired from the Fed earlier this year after nearly two decades at the helm. Greenspan's appointment at Deutsche Bank was pushed by Peter Hooper. He served as a Fed staffer during Mr. Greenspan's tenure and is now chief U.S. economist for Deutsche Bank Securities.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
Sun's up, looks okay, the world survives into another day, and I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me.
If your college years were the best years of your life, this one's for you. A growing number of schools want to let you live on campus for eternity. After you die, that is. And as Jeremy Hobson reports, having an eternal connection with an alum can be a powerful fundraising tool.
Chapman University in Orange, California. There's a new feature on campus. Water glints in the sunlight and tumbles down a 16-foot wall. Just yards away, four marble walls of the same height are checkered with what are called niches. You can stand and admire it, or you can have it as your final resting place. Many already have. Mel Malkoff was contracted by the university to oversee sales and marketing.
We have about 25 or 6 sales, of which only about 2/3 of those have remains placed in them. The others have been purchased pre-need so that they're set aside for people. Thankfully for them, they're not using them yet.
If and when they do, it won't come cheap.
At the heart and hand level, where you can see and touch the stone, these are $5,000. And toward the top is $2,500.
Malkoff says those prices do bring in a small profit, but university officials don't highlight that side of it. Mary Platt is Chapman's communications director.
We look at certain things as being friend-raising instead of fundraising.
Despite the occasional construction work disturbing the peace at the columbarium, those friends may decide to contribute extra to the college where their cremated remains will be kept. And alumni donations can add up to nearly a quarter of a university's budget. That's according to John Lippincott, president of the Council for Advancement and Support of Education. He says universities fully understand the importance of a cradle-to-grave relationship with alums.
If you go into a college bookstore, more likely than not, you'll find infant clothes with the college logo, which takes care of the cradle part of the equation. And we are seeing institutions now understanding that they can also provide the grave part of that equation.
It's catching on. Schools from Virginia to Indiana are setting up dorms for the dead. But it's all a bit much for Jennifer Wiegert, who studied at Chapman University until last month.
I've graduated. I don't really want to spend more time here.
I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Dunkin' Donuts thinks there's a hole in the retail coffee market, and it has the perfect filling. Dunkin' struck a deal with Procter & Gamble, and its brand of Java will be stocked in Walmart, Kroger, and CVS. Now, this move coincides with Dunkin's expansion into the western and southern states. The company plans to triple stores in the U.S. to 15,000 by 2020. Got comments for us? We'd like to hear from you. Go to letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening, and make it a good day.
American Public Media.